bag. Is he fucking blushing? He actually looks a little shy, but he doesn't look turned off by her flirting. I groan. Get over it. He's a man. A young one still, and I'm sure a pretty healthy one too. He's had sex with women. Cole is proof of that. It's unrealistic to think he's going without. He's going to bring a woman home sometime. Everyone has needs. I drop my eyes to his torso, the thin black pullover rain jacket molded to his body like a second skin. His sleeves are pulled up, showing off his forearms, and I swear I can see the rain falling down his neck from here. He's tall and broad, and I love the way his t-shirts fit and he wears his jeans. When a man looks that good in clothes, you know he looks good out of them. And if he looked half this good in high school, every girl must have wanted him. I'm curious to know what he was like then, but then there are some things I don't want to know either. April passes him a bag but fumbles, and he darts down to grab it before it falls from her arms. They're smiling and leaning in close to each other, and my lungs hurt. And as if he senses me watching him, his eyes suddenly dart up, meeting mine, and for a moment everyone else disappears. I stop breathing. Shit. I look away, quickly grabbing another bag. I don't look back, even though I can feel him watching me. Once the truck is empty, I take out my water bottle and drink the rest, walking over to Pike's truck and tossing it in the bed. "Ready?" I hear him say. I spin around and see him coming over and pulling off his soaked jacket. His t-shirt rides up with the movement, and I tear my gaze away from his stomach. Are we all done?" I ask. He throws the coat into the back and digs another water out of the cooler. "This is about all we can do, I guess. We just need to hope it's enough and it holds." I take one last look around, noticing everyone has moved on to one thing or another. Some are climbing into their cars, and some are still positioning bags or chatting. I whip off my jacket, too, toss it into the bed of the truck, and climb into the passenger seat. I pull the door closed, and he starts the engine, the wipers immediately kicking into gear from where they left off on the drive over. I look out the window. "Oh, shit," I breathe out, gazing out in the distance. He follows my gaze. The truck sits higher up, and we have a full view of the river beyond, all the way to the other side. A small set of islands that sit in the middle is now almost covered with water, and houses on the opposite bank are threatened as the river rises halfway up their stilts. It still has a long way to go, and the rain has already slowed down a little. Hopefully it will be fine. "I can't believe how high it is," I say. "Surreal." He turns to me. "You're smiling again." I meet his eyes, my face relaxing. "Was I smiling?" "Well, I'm trying not to," I tell him, breaking into another one. "I mean, I hope no one gets hurt and no one gets flooded, but..."
"But?"
I shrug, feeling a little guilty. "I kind of liked helping today, I guess. It's fun to get dirty." He laughs under his breath and shifts the truck into gear.
"You haven't been dirty yet," he teases. "Fasten your seatbelt."
A half hour later, I'm yelping and gripping the handle above the door as he speeds down the muddy canal. He jerks the wheel so we vault up over the side and back onto high ground, and I laugh, bouncing in my seat. Oh my God, this is fun. I feel like I'm going to die. My eyes water, I'm laughing so much.
"I can't believe you've never done this before,"
he says, looking over at me like I need to surrender my small-town girl card.
"In my day, this was the place to take a girl to show her how badass you were in your truck."
I tumble left and then right as the truck navigates all the muddy dips and puddles. He's let me have complete reign of the stereo, and Bruce Springsteen's Glory Days plays from the tape I put in. I turn up the volume and grip the dash for support. "It still is," I inform him. "In my day, though, it's becoming harder and harder for guys you date to keep a valid driver's license." He chuckles.
"I believe that." Rain and mud kick up around us, and I can see splatters of both hitting the sleeve of my raincoat nearest the door and my bare thigh. Pike insisted we roll down the windows, not caring in the least that his interior might get dirty. He said it would heighten the experience. "Did you bring your dates here?" I ask.
"From time to time."
I quirk the corner of my mouth into a knowing smile. "And then you took them to Hammond Lock to make out after?" He darts his gaze to me, looking surprised.
"What do you know about Hammond Lock?"
I shrug. "Oh, I heard that's where the old folks took their dates back in the day is all." He feigns a scowl and revs the gas, barreling us down into another ditch. My stomach drops into my feet and I yelp again, laughing.
"Stop," I plead. "You're going to tip us."
The front fender crashes into the bottom, kicking up a wave of mud and water in front of us. My body jerks forward into the seatbelt, and I scream in excitement, squeezing my eyes shut. Shit. But I can't stop laughing. He's right. How have I never done this before? I've been missing out. Cool rain falls lightly through the window, misting my leg, and I open my eyes again and wipe off my cheek, seeing streaks of mud on my hand. Turning to him, I see his eyes meet mine, both of our bodies shaking with quiet laughter.
"Okay, it's my turn,"
I blurt out excitedly. Unfastening my seatbelt, I pull the door handle, moving to get out.
"No, just slide over," he tells me. "I'll come out and get around."
I stop and turn, seeing him open his door, and instead of stepping down, he pulls himself up and swings around into the bed of the truck behind us. I quickly slide across the seat and in front of the steering wheel. The perk of his truck being so old is that it has a bench seat. I don't need to hop over a console. I fasten my belt and gaze out the windshield, a surge of heat coating my stomach as I smile.
"Watch out for the mud,"
I call out the window to him. I have no idea how deep it is outside the passenger side door. But I wait as the truck rocks with his movements and back, and then the passenger side door opens, his hand appears at the handle, and he leaps inside, never once touching the ground. Sliding into the seat next to me, he slams the door and runs his hand over his now drenched hair. My eyes fall to his t-shirt molded to his chest, defining his collarbone and the muscles of his pecs and broad shoulders. He turns to me.
"What?"
I blink and clear my throat, recovering.
"Nothing. You're just still pretty nimble for your age, huh?"
His eyes flare. Swiping his hand outside the door of the truck, he brings it back in and whips it at me, mud slicing across my face. I gasp, closing my eyes on reflex and twisting away.
"Stop!" I laugh, holding my hands out as more mud comes flying. "I'm just kidding."
"Since when did 38 become a goddamn senior citizen?" he growls, but I can hear the amusement in his voice.
More mud flies at me, and I cower with my back turned to him, trying to protect myself.
"I'm sorry, I didn't mean it."
But I can't stop laughing. 2 hours later, the sky is dark, and I'm blissfully relaxed. I can't think now, even if I try. Coals and my bills sit in my room. The tuition that I'll go further into debt with student loans to pay is coming due in a couple months. And the nudge I feel at my back, knowing I can make more money if I just have the guts. Everything is miles away right now. I've been smiling nonstop the entire afternoon.
"That was fun," I tell Pike, both of us veering around his house toward the backyard.
We're muddy and don't want to track it in through the living room, so I suggested cleaning off with the hose in the backyard a little first. Glancing up at Pike, I see mud on his neck and his eyes staring off, unfocused, as if he's lost in thought. A small smile plays on his lips.
"What?"
I ask him. He finally blinks, taking in a deep breath and shaking his head.
"I just realized I never do anything,"
he says, pushing the wooden fence door and holding it open for me.
"I haven't laughed like that since, I don't even remember when."
My heart leaps. I'm glad I'm not the only one who enjoyed it. I'm glad he liked spending time with me because I'm getting used to him.
I find myself looking at the clock and getting more excited the closer it gets to 5 every day. I look forward to him, and I wish I didn't. I'm going to leave eventually. I don't want to get attached. The shower flashes through my mind, and I remember his loofah and my cheeks warm. I feel good with him, and I'm glad he feels good with me. I just can't feel that good. We come around the back of the house toward the back door, and I bend down to twist the faucet. Water pours out of the hose, and I pick it up off the ground. Standing upright, I run my hand under the hose, thankful the water is still warm from the day's sun. I hand it to him, and he takes it.
"Thanks for coming today," he says quietly. "We needed the help."
I nod, pulling off my sneakers and hat. "It's my town, too." He rinses off his face, arms, and construction boots, and I notice the water pouring down his clothes and still leaking mud. We're just making it worse. "There's some towels in the dryer," I say absently. He can go inside and change into a towel while I stay out and rinse off. He pulls his shirt off over his head, and I take it, twisting it in my fists to force out the water, while he runs the hose over his shoulder and down his back.
"Is all the mud gone?" he asks.
He turns around, still holding the hose and showing me his back, and all of a sudden, I can feel the heat of his body next to me. My blood starts heating up under my skin, and I'm afraid to look at him.
"Yeah," I say, barely audible.
I pull out one of my rubber bands and start to take apart a braid. My skin is burning. He's looking at me. I close my eyes for a moment, absorbing it. I want him to look at me. I hear him chuckle, though, and I open my eyes to see him reach over and take my other braid in his hand. He raises the hose and rinses off the tail. "Oh, the mud." "Yeah, thanks for that, by the way," I force a sarcastic tone.
"You asked for it."
"Yes, I did. He's fun to tease." My scalp tickles at his touch, and while I'm no longer relaxed, I'm smiling again. He's only touching the ends of a few hairs, and I'm lightheaded. I swallow the lump in my throat and slowly turn, whispering, "Would you check my back?" I wait a moment, my pulse racing in my ears and the sound of the water spilling from the hose onto the ground. But then I feel him, the soft, barely there brushes of his fingers across my shirt and the cool water seeping through the fabric as he clears away the mud. He's so quiet, and it's so loud. It's throbbing in my ears. At first, he's quick. I hug my arms to the front of my body, nervous like this is the first time I've ever been touched. But then it gets slower, his hand staying on my shoulder blade longer, and growing in pressure as he presses into my curves and runs his fingers down the slope of my neck, my spine, and then my hips. The pulse between my legs begins to throb, and my eyelids flutter. His hand hits bare skin at my hip, lingering for a moment, and I breathe out, so nervous right now, but excited. I'm not imagining this. I'm not imagining the way his touch feels. Gulping, I slowly look to the side, seeing his form over my shoulder, and I reach down, grabbing the hem of my shirt, hesitating only a moment before I pull it over my head. Then quickly, I reach over and pick up a clean towel off the stairs, hugging it to the front of my body. I want him to look at me, but I'm so scared he'll push me away. I drop my soaked shirt and stand there, fear and desire eating away any rational thought. For a while, the steady stream of water just falls, burrowing a hole into the grass below. And then it's on me, cascading over my shoulder, down the blades of my back, as his hand follows its fall, clearing away any dirt still lingering. I close my eyes, dizzy. It's warm at my back, and I realize he's closer now, towering over me from behind. I hear him swallow.
"Towel's going to get wet,"
he says, his voice raspy. A smile pulls at my lips, but I don't let it out. Opening my eyes, I pull the towel away from my body and toss it back on the stairs. Excitement like an electric current under every inch of my skin. I don't remember ever wanting something this much. He cleans my back, my arms, and tilts my head for me side to side to make sure there's no dirt there as well. I finish unbraiding my hair and comb my fingers through it, feeling some wet strands mixed with the dry ones. I want to see him and know what he's thinking, but I'm afraid to break the spell. And if I look at him, we might both get scared off. And this feels so good. Are my legs clean? I ask over my shoulder. I know I'm being wicked, but I don't want him to be done yet. It only takes a moment, but then I feel the water hit the backs of my legs, and slowly, he takes a knee, trying to get a better vantage point. I close my eyes again, diving deep into my head where everything I want in this moment but am too afraid to voice is safe. It's not only his touch, it's how he does it. The long, languorous caresses down my thighs, and the way the tips of his fingers trail just a centimeter higher than they probably should, and how he tries to avoid the insides of my legs, but he keeps flirting close, like he wants to go there, and is struggling to hold himself back. He finishes my calves and my feet, and I finally look over my shoulder and down at him. My turn, I say. He raises his gaze, his chest moving up and down in shallow breaths. His lips are parted, and there are 100 different emotions in his eyes. But I recognize the same ones I'm having. Fear and longing, turmoil and need. We want it, but we know we shouldn't. I turn and take the hose from him, and his gaze falls to my breasts right there for him, and only covered by my thin, pink, lacy bra with roses on it. I'm a girly girl at heart, and I think he likes that. Without a word, he rises and stares at me, unflinching as I bring up the hose and start to rewash him. Neither of us had much mud on us in the first place. We could easily make it into the house and to the showers, and we both know it. I run my hand over the smooth skin of his chest, tracing the mural he has inked across his shoulder, pec, and down his arm. I don't look into his eyes, but I know he's watching my face. Did you get all these tattoos when you were younger? I ask quietly. Most of them, he says, raspy. Back when I didn't have other things to spend my money on. Do you regret any of them? I see mud under his ear and arch up to my tiptoes, putting us chest to chest. No, I... He stops, his heavy breath falling on my cheek as I hover close. You have some mud, I explain, looking up at him with my body pressing into his. I fall back to my feet and continue. You were saying? He clears his throat.
I'm a little tired of some of them by now, I guess. But at one time, he tells me, they were exactly who I was and what I needed to say about myself.
I nod, understanding. I trail around to his back and wash off his neck, his shoulder blades, and let my fingers fall down his spine. He shifts under my touch, and heat filters through my hand, rising up my arm, and I'm so turned on. I don't want to stop touching him, but using my hands doesn't feel like enough anymore. I want to feel his again. What is Pike Lawson like when he takes? He turns his head, asking softly, Aren't you going to ask me what the tattoos mean? I step back around to his front, watching my fingers as they graze his muscled arm. Someday, I whisper back. I do want to know. I want to know everything about him. But maybe, I figure, we'll keep having a reason to find each other if we save some things for later. And right now, I'm desperate to see what else his mouth can do other than talk. Touch me, please. Kiss me. I drop the hose to my side and drag the fingers of my left hand down his abs, my heart pounding so hard it hurts. They tighten as my nails slide across his muscles, and I'm so afraid to look at him. This is wrong. I know it's wrong. But God, he feels good. I can feel his eyes on me, and every thread of my bra is chafing my skin, and I just want to be bare right now. I want him to see me. I close my eyes. Oh, God. Jordan. He grasps my hand, and I can hear him breathing hard. I nod, opening my eyes, but still unable to meet his. I know, I breathe out. I'm sorry. I'm parched. My eyes sting with tears, and I don't know why. And there's a knead between my thighs that is almost painful. Slowly, he tips my chin up. I finally raise my gaze, but he's not looking at me either. His eyes are cast down, and his brow is pinched in pain.
You're just out of sorts, he says quietly. You miss Cole, and I just happen to be here. It's okay.
I remain still, my fingers still on his stomach and his hand still on my chin. His chest moves up and down, and for a moment I think I'm going to turn tail and run. He's making excuses for me. An easy one to hide behind. It would make sense I'm feeling lost and in need of someone else to escape to. But what's his excuse? I know he looks at me. I know he does it when he thinks I don't see it, but I do. My eyes sting, filling with tears. That's not why I was apologizing, I tell him. I raise my eyes, meeting his, and while I'm afraid, I have to dive. I can't hold back. I'm sorry because, I whisper shakily, this isn't the first time I wanted you to touch me. And his gaze freezes on me. He holds my eyes, unmoving except for the rise and fall of his chest. And I have no idea what's going through his head right now. But I don't think I'm sorry. No more excuses that this is about me being distraught over Cole. The attraction was already there. He slowly lets his fingers fall from my chin, both of his hands balling into fists, and he clenches his jaw, suddenly looking angry. On reflex, I take a step back, but I don't get any farther. Grabbing my waist, he hauls me into him, snaking an arm round me and gripping my jaw in his hand between his thumb and four fingers. I gasp, loving the feeling of his body hard against mine, but scared too, because he looks so mad.
No.
He growls, baring his teeth and looking at me with fury in his eyes.
Do you understand? It's not happening. You're not getting that from me.
Tears fill my eyes, and I can barely see him anymore as my body shakes with a silent sob. His arm is like steel around me, and I can feel the heat of his rage coming off his skin. He shakes me.
You want to get laid? Then you go hunt somewhere else.
I suck in air and twist away from him, pushing his body away. He's right. What am I doing? Why would I do that? I feel so stupid, and I crouch down, quickly gathering up my shirt and shoes. But I wasn't imagining it, was I? There was something between us. And it was coming from him as much as from me. Did I just see what I wanted to see? I want to scream. Tears stream down my face, and he still just stands there, glaring at me.
Go to your room, he orders.
I break out in a laugh, the bitter sound dripping with disbelief.
Go fuck yourself.
I stand up, hardening my voice. I'll find another bed tonight, thank you. Anyone will do for a slut like me, right? I whip around and run for the back door. But he grabs the inside of my elbow and hauls me back into the wall of his chest. I drop my shirt and shoes, and he forces us forward into the wall of the house. I shoot out my hands, crashing into the siding. Jesus. I shake, sucking in short, shallow breaths as my heart races and my blood runs hot under my skin. What the? He reaches around, taking my face in his hand and his hot breath in my ear. Don't threaten me with shit like that. If you want to act like a brat, then maybe you should get grounded like one, huh? I almost laugh through the tears drying on my face. By all means, I taunt. I'm dying to see how you try to take control of me. You can't even get Cole to do his chores. And when was the last time a woman got hot in your bed? You're not even a man. He growls and slams his palm into the house in front of me. I jump. And the next thing I know, his hand is in my hair, and my head is being twisted to the side as his lips crash down on mine. I whimper, the feel and taste of him flooding me so hard, my clit pulses between my legs. Oh, shit. My eyelids flutter closed, the heat and adrenaline diving from my chest to my groin in the span of a second. He pulls back. Fuck. And his fist tightens in my hair. But he comes back in, his mouth covering mine, demanding more, and I can barely catch my breath. I'm hot all over. He tastes so good, feels so good. It only takes a moment, but my brain finally kicks in, and I reach around, taking the back of his neck and kissing him, too. His hand grips my waist, and I can feel his fingers slide under the red silk strap of my panties peeking out, winding his hand once in the fabric, like he's getting ready to yank it off. My pussy throbs at the thought. His tongue is hot and demanding, flicking in my mouth and playing with my own. And when he pulls back just a hair to nibble my bottom lip, I shift on my tiptoes, feeling the warm slickness ache between my legs. Oh, God. He moves from my lips to my cheeks, leaving kisses along my jaw and back down to my neck. I can only arch it to give him free rein. And I smile on the inside. He does want this. He wants me. My skin buzzes, the hair rising on my arms, and I break out in chills at the feel of his hands starting to explore as much as his mouth. I press my ass into his groin and feel the ridge of his cock, hard and tempting. He pulls his mouth away, groaning at my nudge.
Jordan,
he gasps, his eyes closed and brows etched in pain.
Fuck, we can't do this.
I turn around, arching up on my tiptoes and matching my forehead to his with my hands at his waist. I know, I say. I know. God, why did this have to happen? I hover over his lips, feeling for them as his warm breath makes me want to wrap myself up inside of him. I know, I whisper again. I ruined it, didn't I? We are victims of circumstance. At least I can feel confident that I would have liked him no matter what. If he were any other guy who came into my bar, sat down and talked to me, I would have wanted him. He can be gruff, and he's way out of practice dealing with people. But I'm happy around him, and I like that the only thing he seems to need from me is my presence. He's happier with me here. You need to not fight me, okay? I tell him. I'll go to my sister's tomorrow, and I'll be more than fine. You don't have to worry about me. I never should have stayed. Suddenly, though, he grabs the backs of my thighs and lifts me up, forcing my legs to wrap around him. Planting me against the wall, he peers up at me and shakes his head.
You're not going anywhere.
And then he darts in, capturing the underside of my chin in his mouth. I gasp, my head falling back and my lids closing, as he bites and kisses, sending tingles down my arms. I grip his shoulders and give in, squirming against him and craving the friction of him between my legs. One of his arms holds me up, while the other trails to my bra strap, pulling it down so he can kiss the skin on my shoulder. I pant, desperate. Take it off, please. His hand goes to my back, but instead of unhooking me, he yanks at the strap and pulls it down. I'm only bare for a moment, though, before we both hear a door slam inside the house and startle.
Dad? Cole calls. You up?
Shit, Pike hisses under his breath. Oh, God. I squirm out of his hold and he releases me. I dive down, gathering up my shirt and shoes again, holding them up to cover myself. I see the kitchen light pop on through the back door, and I swing around the side of the house, hiding just out of sight. My heart is pounding in my ears and I can't swallow. I peer around the corner at Pike, and he's looking around like he's not sure what to do. But he finally grabs the hose, still running water, and continues washing off his already clean arms and hands.
Yeah, out here, he calls,
his Adam's apple bobbing up and down. I hear the screen door creak open, and I slink back, making sure I'm out of sight.
Hey, what are you doing?
I hear Cole ask. I hurriedly rehook my bra and pull on my damp t-shirt again.
Just cleaning off, Pike answers. The river nearly flooded the harbor today. I tried to call you.
Yeah, sorry. There's a moment of silence, and all I can hear is the running water spilling onto the now flooded grass.
Where's Jordan? Cole says. I don't know, inside?
My eyes fall and guilt hits me like a stab. He'd had to lie to him. I mean, of course he would. I would have as well. But the reality sinks in that I can leave Cole and walk away and life will go on. Pike can't do that. That's his son.
You staying? Pike asks him. Just picking up some stuff, Cole explains, sounding solemn. I don't think she'll want me around for a while yet. Thanks for letting her stay here.
Pike's voice is barely above a whisper.
It's not a problem.
There's more silence, and then I hear the water shut off and some shuffling.
She really took care of me when...
Cole trails off and then continues.
When I couldn't stand to have anyone else around. I never wanted to hurt her.
Needles prick my throat. Everything is so messed up, because I don't know how angry I'm allowed to be. He did it right under my nose, for weeks. But in my heart, I wasn't faithful to him either. Somewhere down deep, we always knew this was finite.
You can come home,
his father says quietly, almost pleading. But Cole doesn't respond, and I wish I could see his face. Is he looking at his father? He can't meet people's eyes when he's upset or sad.
What are you doing?
Pike asks him, so much sadness in his voice.
What are you doing with yourself, huh?
I hear a sigh and then Cole says,
I'll talk to her, eventually.
And then the screen door falls shut, flapping against the frame, and I slowly peek around the corner, seeing Pike standing alone in the spot where I left him. His brow is etched in pain, and he's staring at the ground. His head turns slightly toward me, though.
He doesn't treat you right, and he should, Pike says,
his face ridden with guilt.
But this can't happen, Jordan.
I press my teeth together, tears lodged in the back of my throat. I know. I know.
Chapter 16. Pike. I can feel her, her warm legs snaking through and over mine between the sheets, and she's hot and wet between her legs as she grinds on me. I grab her by the hips and flip us over, yanking down her panties and diving down, taking her in my mouth. God, her moans are so sweet, and I don't want to ever leave this bed. I want to do nothing but feel her and taste her and smell her, make her smile and sweat and come. She's mine. But suddenly my eyes pop open, blinking into the early morning's dim light. I'm alone, and I breathe in through my nose, chasing her smell in the dream. I close my eyes. Jesus, I pant, licking my dry lips. I fist my hands, still feeling her ass in my palms, and I need her. I need the same soft body I had in my arms last night so badly my jaw aches from clenching it. Rubbing the sweat off my neck, I peer down and see my dick tenting the sheet. Fuck. I need to get laid. That's all there is to it. Jordan isn't special. She's not. She's a hot young woman living in my house and constantly in my face, walking around in her short shorts with her long legs, perky ass, and lips that taste like a fucking peach. It's like putting a steak in front of a starving pit bull and saying, "Don't touch." I groan as my dick swells with blood, growing even harder. God, if I called her in right now, would she come? I'm tempted to take back what I said last night. I want back what I had in my hands that much. But no. I'm already aching with guilt and losing control, and going further with her would do a world of hurt. Last night was simply the result of not being fed in too long. Nothing more. Christ, she's a kid. If she were 2 years younger, I could go to prison for what I almost did to her last night. I need to get this out of my system. Throwing off the sheet, I get out of bed and pull on some boxer briefs and jeans. After throwing some cold water on my face, brushing my teeth, and running some gel through my hair, my dick has calmed down enough to leave my room. I pull on a t-shirt and the rest of my stuff that I'll need for work and walk out of the room. If Cole hadn't come home when he did... I jog down the stairs, pushing it out of my head. I just hope she doesn't think she needs to leave on account of this. Probably would be for the best, but I don't want to be another person she can't count on. In the kitchen, I pour myself a cup of coffee and open the fridge, looking for the milk. I pinch my brows together, shifting cartons around and only finding almond milk. I take it out and wrinkle my nose, studying it. Almonds produce milk? Jordan. I roll my eyes and uncap it, sniffing it. It doesn't smell bad. I shrug and pour it in the coffee. Picking up the mug, I slip my other hand into my pocket and lean against the counter, blowing on the coffee. I hear Jordan's footfalls on the stairs and my stomach twists as I blink long and hard to brace myself. She breezes into the kitchen, lifting her eyes and meeting mine long enough to give me a quick, curt half-smile before trailing around the table and pulling her book bag off a chair. She seems in a hurry. I force the words out. The sooner we deal with it, the sooner we can get back to normal. "I'm sorry about last night," I tell her. "It was my fault and it shouldn't have happened, okay?" Her hands slow and I see her eyes shift as she digs in her pack, but she doesn't look at me. She pulls the zipper closed and straightens, heading toward me and pulling open the fridge. "I gotta go," she says. I watch her warily. She doesn't seem mad. She just seems nervous. Maybe she was waiting for me to take the lead to see how to handle this. Or perhaps she wants to act like it didn't happen at all. Maybe she regrets it. Do I regret it? Yeah, of course I do. But I enjoyed it, too. The need to take her up to my bed and savor every second and every inch of her was like looking forward to heaven last night. I wanted it. I couldn't wait. And I wouldn't have stopped. My muscles hurt just thinking about what I was going to put my body through to enjoy every moment with her. But even without Cole, she's still half my age. Nothing about this is right. "You're a beautiful girl, Jordan," I say in nearly a whisper. "But you are just a girl." She pauses at the fridge next to me and I see her swallow. She's so pretty, hair clean and flowing, makeup subtle with just a hint of pink on her lips. "My head wasn't straight," I explain. "We're both lonely, and I've loved having you here so much the boundaries got blurred. It won't happen again." She nods and her gaze drops. I wish I knew what she was thinking. It's not like her to be so quiet. Does she hate me? "It's okay," she says gently, but I shake my head. "It's not. I don't expect that from you. I want you to know that." God knows she gets enough of that shit at work. Taking her apple and bottle of water, she turns and walks from the table, picking up her bag. She can't have class this early, but I'm not about to question her like it's my business. I've done enough to her the past 24 hours. I watch as she leaves the kitchen and enters the foyer. Pulling her house keys off the hook, she reaches for the door, but stops, pausing. "My hands were on you too," she says, and then she pulls the door open and walks out, closing it gently behind her. I stare after her, the empty space making me suddenly want her back. "Don't say things like that," I mumble to an empty house. "If I know you want it too, how will I be able to resist you?" "You sure you don't want to come?" Dutch asks. I shake my head, tossing my gear into the bed of the truck. Nothing sounds worse than a bar full of people and pre-frozen mozzarella sticks right now, I tell him. I have a date with a leftover calzone in the fridge. Todd passes by laughing. "I'll bet calzones taste even better with a certain barefoot blonde making them too." My neck heats up from the teasing. I don't think anyone knows Cole isn't staying at the house right now, but Jordan's and my interactions haven't gone by unnoticed. Poker night, the lingerie show, her bringing me lunch. The guys are drawing their own conclusions, I'm sure. And actually, the calzones were takeout from a couple nights ago, but yes, Jordan's not working tonight, and I'm anxious to see how she is, and to, hopefully, get back to normal with her. Not too anxious, though. I kept the guys an hour later today on purpose because while I'm dying to see her, I don't want to be dying to see her, and I needed to prove that I have some control over myself. Dutch pulls on his baseball hat, shooting me a half smile like he agrees with Todd, but I just frown and climb into my truck. I don't need the mental image of Jordan walking around my kitchen in her bare feet, bending over counters to grab things and doing that cute thing she does where she blows her hair out of her face but it just falls right back into the same spot again. We can live there, and our lives will continue until she gets her own place. She'll go to school and work, and once in a while a guy just may come by to pick her up and I'll carry on too. I'm a single man. She has to expect I'll be out with a woman here and there. It's fine, and it's as it should be. If she were 10 years older, though, I smile to myself, finally feeling like I got my head back on straight. I twist the key, starting the engine, and pull out of the lot, making my way home. I'm glad I didn't try to get out of the site right away at 5. And all in all, I did well. I was the one who stopped things last night, right? Twice. I have a moral compass, and while it wavered, it found true north, eventually. And I'm only human. Would anyone not notice how beautiful she is? I blow out of breath, turning on the radio as I coast into town and wind through the neighborhood streets. I need a date. I'll just twist, wind, and mold what happened with Jordan last night as some 6-minute fluke under the full moon and go back to being her, like, elder and shit. Just a responsible adult she relies on for guidance, that's it. She's not a woman, she's not experienced in the world, and I'm not the man who's going to marry her or give her kids. I have no right to her. I take a deep breath, feeling ready, and pull onto my street and up into my driveway. It's just after 6. Jordan's VW is here, but that doesn't mean she is. I told her not to drive it yet, but she could be with her sister. I park and grab my lunchbox before climbing out of the cab. Reaching into the back, I pull out my tool belt and swing it over my shoulder, walking across the lawn to the porch steps. But I see something out of the corner of my eye and turn my head, seeing Kyle Kramer's house. Jordan is stepping out of his front door, followed by Kyle, who hands her a piece of paper and smiles down at her. She continues to inch away, but she smiles back and jerks her thumb toward my place, and they both exchange a few words and nod. Turning away from him, she walks my way, and my gaze flashes to him still standing behind her, seeing his eyes roam her backside. My lungs fill with heat, and instinct starts to kick in. "Don't even try it, asshole." She approaches, looking up and slowing for only a second when she sees me. I jerk my chin, keeping my tone even. "What was that all about?" She blinks, walking up the porch steps.
"Oh, he has his kids tonight," she says. "But he forgot he had a baseball game, so he asked me to watch them. I said yes. He was just running through the house and procedures with me.
Why you? I follow her. She glances back at me and I realize that sounded rude. I mean, he must have babysitters lined up already, I add. I was just curious why he asked you.
I don't know.
She shrugs and grabs her bag, checking to make sure she has what she needs. Probably because I'm right next door and he thinks I'm still into pocket money. She jokes.
It's fine, really. I have nothing else to do. I'll be back late, okay?
Late? The games are over by 10. He must be joining the team at the bar afterward. And then the degenerate's going to come home drunk to a barely legal hot babysitter. Fuck no. She moves for the door, swinging the pack on her shoulder, and I take a step. Wait, I say. She turns, but her eyes only drift over me, never staying too long. She's trying to avoid me. If you want, I broach gently. You can just bring the kids over here. They can swim. She finally meets my eyes, and I notice hers are red. She's unhappy, but she's trying to hide it. Jesus. She shakes her head, looking apologetic.
You just got off work. You want to relax, and they'll be noisy.
She drops her gaze again, looking nervous. Is it me, or is it something else? I did the right thing last night. I don't want her to feel rejected, because she'd make any guy the luckiest man in the world. Someday. Maybe she's not angry I stopped it, though. Maybe she's upset it happened at all. I take another step, lowering my voice like I'm afraid the neighbors can hear us. Are you mad at me? I ask her. She pops her eyes up, answering quickly, no. And then she searches for her words.
I'm just trying to sort through some things in my head.
I can see tears welling in her eyes, and I hurt everywhere. Why do I always want to hold her so much? She bows her head, trying to hide the tears she can't stop. And I step up to her and only hesitate a moment before putting my hand on the side of her face. My fingers wrap around the back of her head, and she doesn't push me away. I'm here, okay? I whisper. Nothing's changed. I still love the smell of your candles and the sound of your music in the house. I pause and then add, although I'm not a huge fan of the cucumber wraps you snuck into my lunch yesterday. She breaks into a quiet laugh, her shoulders shaking. I rub her cheek with my thumb. I'm not going anywhere. And I pull her in, hugging her to my chest, and just wanting nothing more than to protect her and give her every damn thing she doesn't have. I wrap my free arm around her, and after a moment she gives in and snakes her arms around me too, melting into me. We hold each other so tight that I don't know if I'm holding her up or she's holding me up, but for a moment, I'm afraid I'll fall if I let her go. Bring them over, I tell her. It'll take the pressure off you having to entertain them. I'll get the floaties ready and order some pizza. She pulls back, sniffling, but there are no more tears pouring out of her eyes, and she quirks a half smile.
Kids like cheese only, she says, an air of peace settling back in her expression.
Yeah, I remember. I think Cole still likes cheese only, actually. She drops her bag by the door where it was before and casts me a look before leaving, an understanding settling between us. I'm not here to hurt her. And providing I can stay the hell off her better than I did last night, then I won't.
I can't do it!
Jensen yells, water dribbling off his lips. The 7-year-old treads water, the goggles huge on his face. Below him, 3 dive rings stand upright on the bottom of the pool, and after I got him brave enough to hold onto my neck while I dived down to retrieve them, I thought it's time he try. Kramer is a twat, but his kids aren't bad. Try to go feet first then, I tell him. Here, put your face in and watch me. The pool only goes to 6 feet, but I swim anyway, putting myself above the rings. Jordan is in the shallow end with Ava, who's only 2, and showing her how to blow bubbles in the water. I was relieved to see her come out in a more conservative bikini than that damn seashell one. But I'm not finding the no-cleavage halter top of this one any easier to take, unfortunately. Ready? I say, tearing my eyes off her soaked hair plastered to her back, and look at Jensen. He nods like his head is too much weight for his body, and I suck in a breath, launch up, and then fall feet first to the bottom of the pool, releasing air as I descend and pushing the water up with my hands. My feet hit the floor, I grab a ring, and push myself back up to the surface, taking in another deep breath. He pops his head out of the water, sputtering a little water. "Did you see?" I ask, wiping my eye. I let out bubbles and push the water up above me, and it helps me sink to the bottom. He nods again. "Wanna try?" He shakes his head. I laugh, slicking my hair back. "Okay, another time then." Just then a stream of water pummels my back, and I look over my shoulder, seeing Jordan shooting me with a squirt gun. The little girl on her hip laughs, and Jordan scrunches up her nose, making a battle-ready face and aiming the water at my head. I jerk away, hearing the little girl cracking up behind me.
"I want one!"
Jensen rushes for the side of the pool and grabs one of the super soakers Dutch left when he brought his kids over one day last summer. I grab the other one and all of us start filling up our weapons, Jordan giving hers to the toddler and getting another for herself. For the next 10 minutes, we barely stop to take a breath as we laugh, attack, and dart around the pool to escape the onslaught. Everyone turns on each other, the baby shooting Jordan right in the eye, and Jensen hitting me in the head. I grab the baby, using her for mock cover, and Jordan squeals, diving under the water to escape shots coming from Jensen, Ava, and me. The boy eventually pushes himself up on a step to sit, and both Jordan and I are breathing hard from the exertion. I set the baby on the deck, and she walks over to the picnic table and starts munching on watermelon. Jensen joins her, taking another slice of leftover pizza. Deja vu hits me. I'm surprised I still have the energy for this. Seems like ages ago I was trying to teach Cole how to swim and letting him bring his first girlfriend over in middle school while I covertly kept an eye on them from inside the house. This wasn't as stressful as I remember it being, though. Maybe because I'm older. Or maybe because it's easier when there are two adults wrangling the kids instead of one. I actually had fun tonight. I watch Jordan as she hops up onto the pool deck and sits with her legs still dangling in the water. Taking each water gun, she empties and shakes them out, setting them aside. The duality of her swimsuit has the coils in my brain twisting tighter and tighter, and I'm so confused. She wears black on the bottom, adult, sexy, and beautiful against her tan skin, and pink on the top, innocent, sweet, and entirely Jordan. Because she can be such a girly girl. Her thighs, toned and smooth, and the cute, studious expression on her face as she furrows her brow and concentrates on her task. Everything about her is young. Except her eyes. Eyes that can be so patient, because she's had years of practice being disappointed. But eyes that can also be angry, because you know shit has been hitting the fan in her life since day one, and hasn't eased up one bit. You can see her brain working through every decision and every interaction because she's so good at assessing consequence and danger by now that it's become second nature. She knows that time always passes and her day will come. Just hang tight. She has the smooth skin and body of a young woman, but the eyes of someone who's seen decades. My eyes fall to her mouth, remembering the feel of her kisses, and another rush of heat coats my chest just under my skin. I turn away, running my hand through my wet hair. It wasn't a fluke. I want her. I love the smell of her in the house, the way when she sits next to me. Either here or in the movie theater that first night, so easily and comfortably like we're two peas in a fucking pod, and how I'm excited to wake up every day knowing I can see her. Jesus Christ, I say under my breath. I'm having my first fucking crush in like 20 years. What? I hear her ask. I lift up my head, turning toward her. Did I say that out loud? Nothing. I shoot back. She peers up at me as she empties the last gun, and I pull the noodles up out of the pool and toss them onto the deck to evade her eyes. I want more of what happened last night, and I don't know what I'm going to do. A phone starts ringing on the picnic table again, and I look over at her. Your phone's ringing again. She nods, a slight frown crossing her face. Yeah, I know who it is. My eyebrows rise a little. Who's she trying to avoid? The phone had rung several times since I'd been home, and to my knowledge, she hadn't answered it. She looks over at me, seeing me staring at her with a questioning look on my face, no doubt. She just laughs to herself, explaining, "Guys in town think I'm easy picking now that Cole and I are over." She runs her fingers through her hair, fluffing the wet strands. "They're swooping in to comfort me." She says the last with air quotes, and my armor instantly steals. Comfort her? But I force myself to back off. It's actually just what I need to put things in the proper perspective. She should be going out with her friends. "Well, maybe you should give one a chance," I tell her, forcing the words out. "I want you and Cole to make up and be friends again, but you should get out and have some fun." The words taste like shit in my mouth, but I feel good I did the right thing. She'll date someone, I can start seeing someone, we'll get distracted and invested in new people.
"I will,"
she answers, cutting off my train of thought. "Carter Hewitt invited me to go tubing this weekend, so I said I'd go." My face falls. I don't know a Carter Hewitt, but... "Tubing?" I say, trying to keep my cool. I approach her at the edge of the pool. No, I tell her, shaking my head. "No."
"Huh?"
Her eyebrows pinch in confusion. 6 hours of drifting on a river with nothing else to do but drink your ass off, I blurt out. "By the time he gets you back to his truck, you'll be 3 sheets to the wind, and then you really will be easy picking." I let out a bitter laugh. "Absolutely not." Her eyes round and her jaw clenches in anger. "Oh, shit.
You are so,"
she whisper yells so the kids don't hear, "old school." She scowls up at me, her lips tight.
"This alpha, possessive, keep your daughter locked up with a shotgun thing is insulting. I'm not an idiot. And you,"
she bares her teeth,
"are not my father."
I arch an eyebrow as she pulls her legs out of the water and stands up, huffing. I fall back, floating through the water. "Yeah, believe me, I know that. The thoughts I have about you aren't the least bit fatherly."
"Wrap up the pizza in tinfoil before you put it in the fridge,"
she orders me.
"Don't just slap it on a plate."
I lock my jaw to hide my amusement at her orders, like I haven't wrapped up leftovers before in my adult life. Grabbing the kids' bags and towels, she takes Ava's hand in hers and leads Jensen toward the back gate. "I'm going to run them home and get them in bed," she tells me, and then turns to them.
"What do you guys say to Mr. Lawson?"
"Thank you," the kids say in their slurred voices with mouths full of food. I step out of the pool and grab a towel, drying off my hair.
"Mr. Kramer said he'd be home by 11,
Jordan says.
"But I know the team usually stops for beers at the pub after the game, so I might be late. I have my key if you lock up."
"I'll be up," I reply under my breath. I'd trust a junkie to hold my wallet more than I'd trust Kyle Kramer. I hear the wooden door swing open and the kids shuffle through. Then I hear her voice.
"Oh, and you're a jerk,"
she says. I peer over at her. "You'll thank me when you're not getting date raped." She makes a face and pulls the gate closed, slamming it hard. I stare after her, laughing quietly. She's so fucking adorable. And then my face falls, realizing I'm almost giddy. I'm not a smiler, and I've far exceeded my quota since she's come into the house. I finish cleaning up the backyard as the sky slowly turns black overhead, and I make sure to wrap the pizza in tinfoil as instructed. The pool is cleared, the toys and floaties put away, and the picnic table is clean. Grabbing the damp towels off the deck, I trail into the house and lock the back door, turning off the pool light as well. Tossing the towels into the washer, I leave the lid open so I can put more in after my shower. As I head for the stairs, though, the doorbell rings. Crossing the living room, I pull open the front door and see a young man through the screen. My guard rises a little, but I push it open, forcing him to back up.
"Hey,"
he says. I nod, taking in the posh, wannabe frat boy who looks slightly familiar, although I can't remember from where.
"Remember me?"
he says, holding out his hand.
"I'm Jay McCabe, Cole's friend."
I shake his hand, studying him. "Jay.
Is Jordan here?"
he asks.
"I was told she was staying here still."
Jordan. What does he want with... And then it hits me. Jay, I say, realization dawning as my spine straightens steel rod straight. Her ex-boyfriend.